Hello and bunat ziwa to our Moldovan listeners who have recently jumped aboard the SAC podcast bandwagon, apparently.
We've had 16 this week from Moldova.
Yes, so that is the latest Eastern European country to jump on the bandwagon, which is great to see.
Awesome, let's hope they keep it up.
Yes, we've been nominated for an award, haven't we?
We have. It's exciting times.
Huge, exciting times here at the Football SAC. We've been nominated for there's an awards ceremony that goes on in London, we're nominated for best new football blog or podcast
in 2010.
In 2010.
Cool.
Which is great.
Fingers crossed. We'll see
yes,
what happens.
We're quite excited about that. So, of course, you and I will be jet setting over to London for the awards ceremony.
Of course.
I only assume it's on par with the Oscars.
Well, I'd like to think so. On par? You're short setting the vlogger awards a bit too much.
Probably, yeah. No one cares about the Oscars. No.
They happen every year.
Yeah, that's right. But these are big. And I totally knew all about them before we were nominated for them. Today's show, we've got Melbourne Derby. Well, first of all, hello and welcome to the show, Christian. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. And yourself.
Thank you. And hello to our listeners. Of course, our Moldovan listeners, they all got a very warm welcome to the show. But our other listeners who speak English will probably enjoy it a bit more, neglected by that welcome. Of course, now bar one word at the start, our Moldovan listeners don't have a clue what we're talking about.
But again, they'll just listen to the harmonic tones.
That's right. They just like it. Like a baby likes colour and movement for their cerebral development.
Yeah, that's right.
And we just throw the old Moldovan word in there
just to keep them awake. Excited.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just keep you hanging on. Just a tease. Melbourne Derby, Friday night. And it was just a great night for football in Melbourne and a great night for the A-League, wasn't it?
Yeah, great. Yeah, it was a great night for Australian football in general. Great crowd. It wasn't a sellout, but you couldn't tell.
Which was strange because the house full signs were put up earlier in the week.
Yeah. So I want to know, why does anyone buy a ticket and not go, let alone 5,000 people?
Yeah.
Maybe it's those 5,000 season ticket holders who weren't turning up earlier.
Yeah, they've made a stand and we refused to go.
Yes, maybe
it was 5,000 Melbourne fans bought Heart memberships just to make empty seats. I don't know, because the Heart would still get money from
that. They still get money from it. So those Melbournians, they're a worry.
Yeah, they're wacky. But it was great because it was an entertaining game. Mm-hmm. There was goals and the underdog got up, and it's going to be a fantastic atmosphere for the next derby.
Well, it will be. That's the thing. I was talking to Scotty Condon. He's on the football. He's a Victory fan, and he said although the result was disappointing for a Victory fan, for football in Australia and the A-League, it was the best result there was.
Yes,
so he
right.
can't be too disappointed.
Yeah, and they'll sell out Telstra Dome for the replay, probably.
Sell out? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would think so. Especially now they've got something to prove, the Victory. You don't want to go 2-0 down, marching through town, seeing there's only one team in Melbourne. Well, who'd you lose to?
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
so,
good point.
But great news for the Heart. Mm-hmm. Great for them, hopefully. And a really good turnout of Heart fans in the crowd. Kevin Muscat had a bit of a pop at them afterwards. When the interviews after the game, the commentator said that, you were being booed in your home stadium. That must have felt weird. And he said, yeah, they made a bit of noise, those 6,000 Heart fans, didn't they? let's hope that everyone who went there, Heart or neutral, mm-hmm. Took something out of that game and will be back.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. And I think they should be.
Yeah.
That was a great advertisement, especially if it was your first A-League game, which I'm sure it would have been for many.
It would have been for a lot, yeah.
So all that match, again, it's not something to go, oh my God, everything, all problems are suddenly solved.
Yes.
But it's a great step forward.
Someone said the other day that it was just a really nice weekend for Australian football. It's been a tough few months. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it was really nice to just have a huge A-League crowd, and a great game, and then the Socceroos game.
The Socceroos to cap it off.
With a good win on Saturday night. Let's talk about the on-park performance of the Derby. I was very impressed by the Heart. I said on the show last week, I just expected the victory to be too strong. But the Heart, very deserved winners out of this one, I thought.
Yeah, well, it was. And like I said, in derbies, although this is relatively new, that's when both sides are up for it and the form book actually goes out the window.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, they're both actually in the same amount of competition points now. So the gap really wasn't as big as we thought.
Yes.
It was just, the Heart have been playing relatively poorly so far, so we just thought they were that far behind.
Of course, before the season started, we were all picking the Heart to be a shoe-in for the finals. Yes, dark horses to win it, because we really like their squad, and they appear to just be clicking. Alex Terra just looks great, doesn't he?
He does, doesn't he?
Like, he's looked great from day one, but he just gets better with each week. Mm-hmm. They had a few guys. Worm had a great game. Rutger Worm had a very good game. Aloisi scored. Just that easy goal poacher. He's still got it.
And that's all you need.
So. Yeah, great header. Really good header. Melbourne Victory success from the quick free kick again.
Yes.
Don't know how long it's going to be before a coach who's playing against the Melbourne Victory says, watch out for the free kick. It's like Tim Cahill at corners. How long until someone
in the Premier League says,
just grab your shirt and just don't let go.
Yeah. It's a strange one because it is something you do, coach, that if the opposition has awarded a free kick...
You don't switch off.
You go stand in front of the ball.
Yeah, like, that's right. Yeah.
It's football basics. Yeah. It's... I don't know. It's a strange one, but it keeps working for them. As long as it keeps working for them, they're going to be doing it. So
yes, that's right.
The coaches better tune on. Or
Sydney know all about it from last year.
Yes.
And of course, Alex Terra with the winner. A really, really great night in Melbourne. So congratulations to both those clubs for putting on a good show on the park, which is something we'll touch on later on as well with these proposed changes to the league, but also off the park. So great night for the A-League.
That's it. I think everyone's just wondering, can the same thing effect happen in Sydney? That's the big next question.
That's right. It will be tough because at the moment we know they're called the Sydney Rovers, but that's all we know.
Yeah,
we know they're playing a St Kilda kit. And that's all we know.
Yeah, it's a strange one because we haven't heard anything from them.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's whisperings that Frank Lowry has kind of talked to the other organisations originally applied for it and trying to get maybe a combined
throw
unit.
A bit more money behind it by all going at it together.
We'll see what happens because you never know.
Yeah.
So
let's hope so.
That's right.
Sydney, of course, are playing out west at Parramatta Stadium. I think, is it their next game they're out there, or is it after the doubleheader?
No, it's after the doubleheader, because their stadium won't be ready.
Yeah, they're ripping up the turf, I believe, which was an ice rink for Saturday night.
It was. But yeah, Parramatta should be good. Like, it'll be at a smaller ground, so hopefully the atmosphere will be better. Because like I said, you can get the same amount of people who are arriving, who are going to the SFS now, into a smaller stadium. The atmosphere will triple.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so if the Sydney Rovers do come in, that's where they're going to be based, isn't it? The Parramatta Stadium.
Yes.
Yeah,
cool. Which is a good football ground. Mm. It's close to the action.
I mean, the NRL have shown just how effective playing at suburban grounds can be.
Yes, that's right. Balmain. Mm-hmm.
Cogra.
Cogra as well. Yes, exactly. And I like suburban grounds. Mm. There's a nice touch to suburban grounds. Yeah.
It's strange. I still think one of the best atmospheres I've ever been involved in any live sport was, don't hold me against it, it was a rugby league match. It was City versus Country in Lismore at Oaks Oval.
Oh, yeah.
Because literally everyone just got crammed in like sardines.
Yeah.
The noise is electric and you couldn't move an inch.
Yeah.
But it was brilliant.
Yes, so, that's right. Yeah, that's 3,000 in a 3,000 stadium sounds better than 30,000 in an 80,000 seat stadium.
That's exactly right.
Right, let's go to Socceroos on Saturday night, and a really refreshing performance. It took 20 minutes to get going. It really, really took 20 minutes to get going. But it was a new lineup. There was half a dozen blokes in there who would not have played with other guys in that team before, the likes of McCain, etc. Fantastic to watch the Socceroos get the ball and look to go forward. That's what struck me about this game. Was the fact that under Verbeek, it seemed like as soon as the opposition turned over possession and we got the ball, our first instinct was always to secure possession, and they did that by passing it backwards, get it to the back four, make sure we've got it, try and build an attack. By that stage, of course, the team that had lost the ball had got everyone back in position, and that's why we couldn't break anyone down. But our first instinct under Osijek seems to be to get the ball and throw guys forward, counter-attack. And we did it really well because we didn't leave ourselves exposed at any point. Paraguay never looked like scoring. But on the break, we looked really, really good. Kalina especially. When he starts motoring up through that midfield, anything can happen. He's just that good a player. I was really, really impressed by the Socceroos' performance.
Well, it was the first time for a long time where I could sit back and watch a match and go, all right, we are actually dominating this side. Oh, and yeah. They do not look like scoring.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the World Cup. In the World Cup, apart from bits and pieces against Brazil, nobody looked like scoring against us.
Yeah.
You know, we could actually sit back and we used to watch and it was like waiting to score.
Yeah.
Because you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Except in the end, it didn't against Italy. But
that hitting team, it was a matter of could we score and win. It wasn't a let's try and stay in the game.
Yes.
Like it wasn't under Verbeek.
In saying that, I don't think it was the greatest game. It was just a refreshing change to actually see us actually dominating a team. Yeah. And it's good just to see some new faces in there, see some A-League faces, see some ex-A-League faces, and again, getting the new combinations and hoping that everything clicks for the Asian Cup.
Yeah, because it was great because, almost all of the Japanese team is made up of J-League players, mm-hmm. and the national team are heroes over there, and therefore the J-League is big because their heroes play in it. And there was four players that we named who sort of, if not play, but made their name in the A-League. We had Kalina, McCain, Carney, Brosk, and Mackay. There's five.
We're also good at counting.
Yes, that's right. Well, I think I left Brosk out when I was doing it in my head before. Mm-hmm. Technically, he played, but I don't think he touched the ball. But that was great to see. So, you know, those guys, they're a hero on Saturday night because they're playing for the Socceroos. So let's hope Matt Mackay gets that star power and draws people through the gates when he goes back to Brisbane because he's a superstar. Just great to see. Carney, goalkeeper, a bit at fault for that goal. Dived out of the way of it. It was a terrific way to dodge a bullet, Matrix-like. But it was a good hit.
Mm-hmm.
And Australia definitely, Australia just definitely dominated. Sorry, I totally lost my train of thought there.
They definitely dominated. And like I said, there wasn't that many people who played that badly, although you didn't like McCain's performance.
I did. I just didn't think he did a lot right.
Yeah.
It sounds strange because he's just played in a team that Paraguay didn't have an attack, but I don't think he was put under pressure. I think our midfield did really well. Yadonak, who I've been a big critic of, had a good game,
mm-hmm.
Possibly because he was the only holding midfielder, which is nice. Kalina was slightly more attack-minded.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you get two holding midfielders playing alongside each other, Valeri and Jedinak, they tend to just run into each other and not know what they're doing. Valeri kind of still does because he's a better player. But to be fair to Jedinak, he played pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Jedinak, there's another one who made his name in the A-League, up to six. Cool. Yeah, so these A-League superstars, I can get out. Speaking of A-League superstars, we're going to have a guest on the show in the future.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine who goes to uni in Brisbane, he's in Matt Mackay's class.
Okay.
And they were sitting in doing group work, and there was three or four of them in the circle.
Mm-hmm.
And Barry made a joke about... made a joke about Henrique. When he broke his arm in Melbourne.
Oh, yes.
He said, what a softy. And he had no idea who Matt Mackay was, mm-hmm. who was sitting opposite him. And Matt sort of said, oh, yeah, he was in a lot of pain. And Barry sort of said, oh, yeah, righto, Matt, whoever you are, what would you know? And then he said, told me he drove out of the campus and whilst waiting at the traffic lights on his way home, a bus went past with Matt Mackay's face on it. And he went into class the next day and said, do you play soccer? Matt said, oh, I kick the ball around a little bit. Yeah, so superstars like Matt Mackay will have them flooding through the gates.
Yeah,
it'll be brilliant. That's uncool.
Yes, that's good. One person I wasn't particularly impressed with was Luke Wilkshire. He's
had a quiet game.
He lost possession for me cheaply too much, as in not losing it one-on-one, but he'd put a cross in when it was five defenders on one attacker. Right. Yeah. And you go, okay.
Play your percentages.
Yeah.
Wait until you get guys up there.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. Yes. We'll try to play attacking, but if there's nothing on, keep hold of the ball.
Yeah.
That's what should piss me off so much, is it was endless amount of times. Almost every time he got the ball in the attacking half or third, he'd send out this ball, and then next thing you'd see was him sprinting back because he'd just lost it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's probably the one player stuck out.
Credit to him, though, he does sprint back. He works very hard when he loses possession. But it'd be lovely if he didn't have to.
He didn't have to
By not giving it away so much. But
apart from that, the whole squad to me played reasonably well.
Look, if that, and it was a squad performance. Mm-hmm. It wasn't our strongest team. You know, no Emerton out there, no Grella or Valeri. Mm-hmm. It was our third choice holding midfielder, and of course centre back. You know, we had no Lucas. So to have our boys, you know, Noel Holman, who I think has rightfully recently secured himself
in
our
the top
first
players.
11.
Yes.
So you know, without those guys, I thought it was a great performance to know that you've got that to fall back on if we get some injuries. And and great noises coming out of camp. Everyone seems to like Holger. Harry Kewell is determined to win the Asian Cup.
Yes.
He wants to win some major silverware, which is great to hear. He's come out, he said, "I'm not retiring. I want to keep playing for Australia." So take that, Robbie. it'll be great great if we can win that Asian Cup, and I really think we can.
Yeah, well, I'd like to think we can, and I hope so too.
Yeah.
And I think it will be beneficial to not only Australian football, but the A-League if we do.
Oh, winning breeds success, doesn't
that's
it?
To be honest, in the Asian Cup, yeah, apart from maybe the semi-finals, you probably won't face a tougher team than Paraguay in the Asian Cup.
Which is great to see from the Socceroos. Let's
hope.
They've got another game in Egypt, is it? Cairo, I think. They're arranging a friendly next month or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be a last hit out before the Asian Cup.
Yes.
I think so.
I think so. I'll go with that.
Yes. Right. Let's stay local. We'll talk the A-League. A few off-the-park topics that we're going to cover. The first of which was the match review panel.
Mm-hmm.
The first person to feel the wrath was Gerald Simon. He's come in for a 2-game ban.
Yeah, it's
was it off the ball violent conduct?
Off the ball violent conduct.
I haven't seen it yet, so I can't really comment on it.
Neither did the refs. That's why they got to review
good point,
it.
Good
so,
yes.
But no, honestly, I haven't seen it either.
Yeah,
it's not much we can really talk about if we don't know what happened.
Yes,
but,
that's right. If you know what happened, email us info@thefootballsack.com. We are, it's strange. 2 games, though. So obviously they feel it was a red card offence.
Well, I think they said in the FFA email they sent us that the 2-game was a minimum sanction for that offence, for violent conduct off the ball, minimum suspension, two matches.
So as soon as he got cited, it was always going to be at least two.
2 matches, that's right.
But it can't be too serious, so it would have been more. So he's got the minimum, so yeah, be interesting. I still haven't seen it. I'll have to keep
an eye out for it. A bit of a slap on the wrist, but it's a bit of a major slap on the wrist, isn't it?
It is. He's been good, Sibon. He's been very good. The other person to feel the wrath of FFA.
Feel the fury of
that's
the
right.
FFA.
Yes, that's right. And it's nice to know the FFA is still there. They're not just in bed, because we haven't heard from them for so long. But they've come out and done something. And they've told Franz Straka to keep the blazer on the hook, or at least wear it higher up in the grandstand. He's got a touchline ban.
Yes,
for one
match.
Yeah. Which was from that Central Coast Mariners game. We actually did see this incident.
Yes.
He tried to push away the arm of the fourth official, who was trying to sort of tell him to calm down. And, hey, you can't touch the officials.
Yeah, that's it. He kind of lost his bottle too a bit.
Yeah.
And it was over nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
It was actually over
nothing. Worst things will happen to his team that season.
They're not being given a corner.
Yes, that's right.
I can't argue with it. You know, if you're going to do that, then you deserve what you get.
That's right. Yes, I understand.
Stuart McLaren escaped a ban, but that's only because the FFA acknowledged it's only because the Fury themselves have already given him a ban.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Ah, right.
So
that's good.
So they're going to have neither the head coach nor the assistant coach on the bench.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Yeah. Who's going to?
I don't know.
The boot man's going to be doing the tactics.
I know. Yeah. Maybe I'll get a random call off. It'll be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. maybe not.
Maybe not.
Most likely not.
Franz, if you're listening, call me.
Yes.
I'm ready. I'm available that night.
He probably doesn't make the decision. It would be someone in the hierarchy of the Fury.
You reckon? Yeah, okay. If the coach isn't going to be there, surely the coach would get to choose who replaces him.
Do you think? Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Well, would he have a hand in the tactics, or who sets the tactics?
Honestly, they'd be calling and texting each other. So it's literally just going to be someone sitting on the bench.
They'll be on the phone.
You're not supposed to be in communication, but there's so many ways to do it that it's impossible. Yeah.
The new coach just sits on the bench with his iPod in and just, you know, I was just singing along. I wasn't talking.
That's it. No, you're not there. It'll be like the Gold Coast. Some member from the Fury, supporters.
Who's watched every game and who knows the players, knows the system.
He'll be sitting on the bench with the Fury jacket on.
Friends will go sit behind the goal. If you don't know what we're talking about, listen to last week's show.
The Thursday show?
Was it the Thursday show? I can't remember.
Listen to both.
Yeah.
Listen to all of them.
Go back to the start and listen again. Yeah. Punish yourself. If you've been bad, go back and listen to every Football Site podcast.
And that is a punishment.
Yes. Although punishment to...
some is pleasure.
Yes, that's right. And to the people that hand out those awards we were talking about earlier, apparently that's the case. Ben Buckley came out during the week and said there are changes planned for the A-League. Suggested changes, mm-hmm. I should stress, on how to spice up the league and make it more attacking. These included bringing in a playoff system for that last spot in the finals,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was a really good idea. I agreed with it because we've seen in the English Premier League because of promotion relegation and the English Championship even more so, mm-hmm. below that, yes. where top two teams get promoted, the next four go into the playoffs, mm-hmm. and the bottom three go down. So by the end of the season with a league with 24 teams, there's usually two, maximum three teams with nothing to play for come the last game of the season. So it's a great way to guarantee crowds throughout a whole campaign, because you get a competition like the NRL and, you know, you get a team that 8 rounds to go in the season can't make the finals and the crowds just drop completely.
Yes.
What if they had, you know, something to play for that, you know? Mm. So I like this.
The only problem I can think of is the playoff system is logistical, because it means there's going to have to be a week or two in between the last round and proper finals to find out who that playoff team's going to be. And what are the top five teams going to do? Just sit around being lazy? They'll get out of match fitness, out of match rhythm. And so it might actually be a disadvantage to the teams that got there on merit. That's the only problem.
You don't
only
need a week. I think because in the English Championship playoffs, they play midweek.
Okay.
They play a weekend, like on a Saturday, and then on the Tuesday night. And within 3 or 4 days, you know which teams will be playing the next. They have a week off, but the next game. So, you know, I think that there would only be cause for teams to miss one game, the teams that have already qualified. And the teams that have to go through the playoffs, so what if you have to play 3 games in a week? It's better than, you know, your season being over.
Yes.
So that's a suggestion.
Yeah, okay. Before I can actually go and say yes, I'd actually have to have a look and just see how, because you know how if you finish first, like you get a week off, and if you get another week off, if there is some weeks off for the playoffs, it's going to mean that the team actually finished first. Saying as they won their, see if they win their first final, they've played like 2 matches in 4 weeks or 5 weeks.
That's a good point.
So that's the only problem I can see with that. Otherwise, yeah, like I said, it keeps team seasons alive and just creates a little bit of interest to crowds and also the players and, you know,
yeah.
Just interested.
Because, if you get disinterested players, you get boring games.
That's right.
Yes. Which hopefully will be countered by their next suggestion, which was the table will be, if there's equal on point, they will go by goals scored, not just for and against. Which, you know, it does take away a bit from the defenders.
Yes.
But at the same time, your defenders are still crucial to win you the points so that you're on level with someone and could potentially pip them if your strikers have been in good form. I think it's a good thing.
It's an interesting one, this one. I'm not, obviously, I've only just recently heard it.
Yeah.
I'm still a bit undecided. Like, obviously, yeah, if it's for and against, I'm pretty sure a four comes in next on the next level. I'm not sure.
Oh, yes, when, like, if you are level on four and against, yes. Yes, that's right. The next one they look at will be goal scored. But you could have a team with, plus 5 goal difference, but, you know, they've only scored 5 goals all year, they just haven't conceded. You can have a team with plus 1 and they've scored 35 but conceded 34. I'll tell you which one of those two teams I'd rather watch all season.
Fair enough. Okay, this probably be good for the fans.
Yeah. And, well, that's what it's for.
Yes. One thing it might not be so good for is
Graham Arnold.
Well, I was going to say development of football in Australia. So Graham Arnold.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
But say if everything goes to plan, we want our A League to be a breeding ground for our Socceroos.
Yes,
that's it. That's probably the major goal of the A League. Let's be fair.
Which it looks as though it's starting to do, which
is great. But
a good Socceroos team, just the Socceroos team.
Yes,
a Socceroos team that played extremely well on the weekend.
So the little thing I got with it is if we put all our emphasis on attack in the A League, we all, like, tactically and player-wise, you know, it may come to the time where our Socceroos don't know how to defend, and it could just, you know...
That's a good point. Well, I don't know. I think that it'll be coaches will split their squad and they'll just work extremely hard on attacking, I think. But at the same time, you'll be trying to defend because you don't want other teams banging in goals against you and boosting their goals scored.
Actually, that's a fair call, actually. It's kind of like how when they introduced the away goal rule, like, see, it just could actually work out completely opposite. It could go from rather encouraging teams to attack, it'll go teams to creating fit goals so they don't want other teams to score goals.
Yeah.
Because when the away goal rule came in two-legged playoffs in the Champions League, it took a while, but after a while, because the aim was to make people attack.
At home
to get the goals. But what happened is teams suddenly just went really, really defensive at home because they didn't want to concede an away goal. Yeah. So it kind of turned itself against the actual rule. Yeah. So this has potential to do that. But again, you never know. It's one of those things that you don't know how it'll work until you try it out.
Yes.
So
I'd like to see someone at the end of this season maybe do up a mock table. Yeah. What it would look like if these things were used.
In saying that, how often do teams miss out on playoff positions with for and against? If we did put this rule in, it might happen one every four seasons. Yes, so it's probably not going to be a huge thing. It might just be interesting to just trial for 4 or 5 seasons or something. Yeah, see what happens.
Right. Obviously, they were suggesting the A-League put forward to boost crowds, boost interest. Mm-hmm. One that I mentioned to you when we were just setting up for the show was perhaps bringing the thing you have with a lot of professional sport. Cricket is one that uses it still in Australia, where the match that the city that match is being played in get it on delay unless it's sold out. So if the cricket's sold out, it goes live all day into Sydney. But if there are still tickets available, then it gets delayed, or you might only see a bit later on. And obviously, you don't show half football game; you just show a full replay later on, maybe 2 hours after the game. But that way, if you want to see the game live, you have to go to it. And you know, it sounds harsh saying go see the game or don't watch it, but to be honest, it's not that harsh, and people would get used to it very quickly if they thought that was the norm.
Well, like you said, cricket crowds, they just accept it as the norm. Yep. NFL crowds, like you said, in the States, they accept it as the norm. Even English football.
That's right. There hasn't been a 3 p.m. kickoff televised on a Saturday for years because they don't want it to affect lower league attendances, and everyone in England just accepts that. Yeah. If you want to see your team play, you go. That's it.
That's it. Yeah. Well, look. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Actually, that's probably one of the better ideas of the show, I think.
And it was mine.
And it was Jack's.
Not really. I've just brought it up again.
Yeah. But no, it's good. I think, some people might get disgruntled and go, oh, it's my football. I want to watch it when I want to.
Yeah.
But, it's your football. Well, back go it watch
up.
It.
You back know? It up. Yeah, if you love it so much, back it up. Yeah, go pay.
That's right. Yeah. To be honest, it might be a bit extreme, but if we don't get crowds going through the game, there might not be a game to watch.
That's right.
Eventually.
Yes, that's right. And then you'll be sitting there going, where's my football? Where's my football?
And you won't get another because your local delay.
Team's moved because you didn't go watch them.
Yes. So, I think that's a great idea. It's there might be contractual difficulties with Fox Sports.
That's right,
on that
note,
but
the new deal
is going to be done sometime.
It's the next couple of years.
Next couple of years. Yeah. So it'd be a clause I'd love to actually put in there.
Yeah. If you, as a listener, have any ideas you think would boost or benefit the A-League and boost crowds in the A-League, which you think deserve a national forum, an international forum, if you would like to say hello to a relative in Moldova, email us info@thefootballsack.com, Twitter us @thefootballsack, and Facebook us. We have a new Facebook page.
We do.
Go to like it, and that way you get sent all the news as it comes up.
That's right. You can actually do it on our site. Just go to our site. It's on the right hand side, of the right hand column. It's just you'll see a little Facebook icon that says like us, and you can like us, and it'll be there.
Okay.
Easy.
That's great.
But seriously, I'd like to actually hear everyone's thoughts out there on what they would do to make the league better.
That's right. Yeah, let's get as many in as we can. So email the show if you have any suggestions on what you'd like to see. Maybe you're someone that goes to the game and you've just noticed something that you think would contribute more to the atmosphere and get people in.
That's right. Well, let us know whether it's you reckon a club could do something better or the actual A-League itself could do something better. Let us know, because if we think it's a good idea, we will shout it out.
Yes. If you're someone who loves football but doesn't go to the game, what's your reason behind it? We'd love to know. Is it something that could be resolved? If you say, if the club did this, I'd go, email us. Let us know.
Yeah, because I think another thing too is a lot of times, sometimes all you have to do is ask the club, and sometimes they do provide. It's kind of like a politician. Politicians will tell you what you tell them. You just have to tell them.
Yes, well, the club can't fix something if they don't know it's broken.
That's right.
So people power, and through the medium of podcasting, international listenership that we have, it's I'm not sure what our numbers are, but we go to a lot of countries and all across the country.
Yeah, if we manage to get downloaded in China, I think we can probably get downloaded anywhere.
Yeah,
so
that's, yeah, that's right. Yeah, North Korea is our next target to infiltrate. Hi, Kim.
We don't want to say that too loud because we might get taken out of context. And next thing you know, the Football Sex Studios will just be in rubble.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Again, probably shouldn't have said that either.
Yeah. Right. We would like to thank our supporters at Betfair, of course. Promotion's still going. If you haven't already cashed in, if you haven't opened up a Betfair account, go to our site, click on the Betfair logo, open up a $30 account, and you will get a $50 free bet to put on anything that you choose. Also, I'd like to thank Football Fans Down Under, a website that has linked our podcast.
Yes, and they've now linked our Sydney FC ticket comp as well.
So, oh, okay, great. Which is good. So check that out, all you Sydney FC fans.
Well, all you football fans in general, check out Football Fans Down Under.
Yeah. It's just a good site. We will wrap it up for today and be back on Thursday with the preview show.
Sounds good.
Previewing, because of course the football is back. Yay!
Next awesome. Weekend. My favourite.
Of course we have European qualifiers tonight or slash tomorrow early. Slash early tomorrow morning is what I was trying to say. And we will look forward to A-League, Premier League, football in general. It's back. The Football Save podcast is back. But not for now, because we're gone. And good afternoon and good night. That's been Christian.
Everybody, goodbye.
And this has been Jack. Goodbye, everybody. See you next time.